2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Everybody, this is your buddy Chopadon coming at you with another Vegas Lines Geeks podcast for week 17, sponsored by the DFSArmy.com website where all of your content comes from. I am your host Chopadon coming at you again with the CEO and founder of the website at Football Geek. F Football Geek is his Twitter handle. He is the one, the only Kevin. How are you today, Kevin? We've got Big Marley coming at us again too. Kevin, why don't you bring Marley in?
Hey, all right. Well, I'm actually feeling a little melancholy about this whole thing. Week 17, it's the last week of the season. A little depressed, but I'm happy to have Big Marley on. What's up, my man?
Hey, not much. Glad to talk some football with you guys again. Just sucks that it's the last regular season week.
Well, we still have the playoffs, too, and week 17 is one of my favorite weeks because I feel like it's one of those few weeks where you could have been great research all season long and still doing shit, but I think digging into these games and understanding the motivations of teams really can get at least a little bit of an edge this week. So that's a lot of what I think we're going to focus on here.
No, absolutely. I saw you had written that up in your channel inside DFSArmy.com for the VIPs, and it's nice to see that that's also where we're going to focus. It should cut down a lot of the noise that is kind of these games with teams that don't have much to play with. So, I mean, I'm assuming that's where your research has been too, right, Marley?
Yeah, I've been kind of looking everywhere just in case, but I think the best way to do it is look at the teams with motivation. The people who do the work are going to get paid the most this week.
It's not just – and from my point of view, it's not just motivation. There's two – listen, what we want to do first and foremost and what I always try to do is figure out who not to mess with. You know, once we get eliminating players, picking the players is a different story. But we want to not mess with – A, we don't believe what coaches say. That's – or I don't. Coaches lie. So I'm going to block out that noise. And for myself and my recommendation for everybody is teams that have nothing to play for or really are just messing around with third or fourth seed, stuff like that, fifth or sixth seed, those are bullshit things. You can't count on those teams to go all out for four quarters. So it's not saying that they won't. They might. But as a policy, it's better just to scratch those off the list and move to games where either there's something to play for or the players are young and they're just going to play it out anyway because why the hell wouldn't they? So that's, I think, what I want to try to focus on for this pod and then try to figure out who is going to be playing against who and, you know, who's got what to play for. So let's get into it.
Well, yeah, let's set that up. And Marley, if you find something, a little diamond in the rough or something that you think has a little narrative behind it, by all means, toss that in. And we'll just rock and roll like usual. We'll just go down the list of games. We've got all the games are on Sunday, right? We got no Thursday. We got no Monday. So, I mean, that's a big slate. Does that mean that the main slate has everybody? Have you guys – I honestly –
Everybody's in. Yeah. One slate, 16
games. Disclaimer. I was going to say, I'll put my disclaimer out there. I have not built a lineup yet. I've been busy with day job stuff, but I am I'm prepped, ready to rock and roll, set you guys up, put you on a tee so you guys can start knocking them out of the park. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right, first game Sunday, Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. You know what? I'll throw the game total at you at 43 points. I'll throw the spread that the Detroit Lions are carrying the 6.5-point favorite going into this one. And, Kevin, let's throw the first one at you as far as if you're looking at anything in this game, and if so, where?
I'm definitely not one of my favorites of this week. So the Packers are out of it, obviously. They've got a lot of injuries. They got the young quarterback playing, but he's not looked good. I'm not sure about the health status of either Jordy Nelson or Davante Adams for this game, and I'm not sure that I really care. I hate this game on both sides for fantasy purposes. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. Normally, you might say, you know, the Lions, you know, because why not? I just hate it.
It's pretty definitive.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Marley?
I definitely have more interest than you do. Mostly on the Lions side of the ball, though, because Green Bay is the 32nd ranked pass defense in the league, and I think Stafford will play the whole game, especially if it's close, so I think he has a chance to put up big numbers. I don't mind Tate with his usual decent floor, but I think where I would prefer to go here is to Marvin Jones. Last time he played the Packers this year, he had 11 targets, 7 receptions for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is 32.7 DraftKings points. So if he can come anywhere near that again, then you're going to need to have him on your team to win a GPP. So I like some Jones as well. And then the other guys I have interest in are Galloway, who had 8 targets last week, 1 in the red zone, and then Ebron again, who's been getting work the last 3 weeks. So all my interest is really on the Lions side of the ball, not too interested in either defense or much on the Packers offense.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, perfectly fine with it because the Packers are terrible defensively. My one concern probably with the game is, you know, this could be a blowout pretty easily, and yeah, lines go up a lot early, and either they're going to play toss and catch with their receivers and have this massive day, but they're certainly not going to be forced, or I don't expect them to be forced to throw much, which is really kind of what concerns me about getting too heavy on that offense.
And the good thing for the Lions is it's in Detroit, so it's the last game for their home fans. Even if they do get a lead, you would think hopefully they're going to keep their players in there just to do it one more time. They're selling tickets, so hopefully they'll pay it off for them.
I could see it. I could see it. Who's the running back? Tyon Green? Man.
Slim pickings.
Reddick and Abdul will still be in there, but I wouldn't go anywhere near the rushing game. The only running back in this game I would like is actually Jamal Williams. If he's getting the full workload, we've seen him put up big games when he's getting 20-plus carries, and if Aaron Jones is sitting out this game, he should get a full workload, and I think he could put up decent points, so I like him as a cash game play.
Williams at 5,200 on DraftKings is seeing 20-plus carries the last couple games. So, yeah, I mean, I don't mind that for a punt, no doubt. All right, let's go through them quickly. What do we got next?
The New York Jets. The Jets go into New England. This one might very well have the highest implied team total of the week for the New England Patriots. We got a 44.5-point over-under on the game, 15.5-point spread in favor of New England. Yeah, everything on paper points to a blowout, but who are we trusting here, Marley, when it comes to that New England offense and that running back machine? I mean, this is the type of spread that obviously points towards a heavy dose of running game, but I don't see them pounding Gillislee all day long. I would think it's more Deion Lewis's game. Is that right?
Yeah, if we get Burkhead and White out again this week, then it's definitely another Deion Lewis week. But the Patriots have to win to get their first seed and have home field advantage in the playoffs, so they are playing to win. Unfortunately, they're playing a shitty Jets team who will not score a whole lot of points, so I can still see the starters sitting in the fourth quarter. But if that's going to happen, it means that these players already put up enough points where you're probably fine, at least in cash games. But yeah, I have a lot of interest in Deion Lewis for that reason. I think Tom Brady is always in play. And then the play I like a lot is Gronkowski. He earns an extra $2 million if he gets 11 catches this week or 116 yards. So I think he's going to try his best to do that, and I think he's a good player to bank on, especially since Kelsey's probably not playing this week.
Let me paint a scenario for you about Gronk. All right, number one, I assume him and Brady are best buds. Now, why I assume that, I don't know. I just assume it. But Gronk calls up Tom, and he's like, dude, $2 million, okay? I need to get the 116 yards today. And what does Tom Brady say? Tom Brady says, bro, you're getting 116 yards. I promise you this. This game is not ending without you having 116 yards. Okay? Like, that phone call, I feel like most definitely happened.
That he might get it in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, like, that conversation happened. Don't think these guys aren't aware that, like, Gronk needs his $2 million. And Brady don't give a shit if Bob Kraft pays out an extra $2 million. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm going to hook you up. And then I'm going to hand it to Dion Lewis 25 consecutive times to make sure that Dion Lewis fucking puts up a massive number. So, yeah, I'm down with the Gronk. I'm always down with the Gronk.
A good way to go about this game, especially in cash games, would be to get Brady, Dion Lewis, and Gronk and basically just wrap up the whole 30-point team total that New England's projected for, because those three players will have the majority of the points from that team.
I am down with that. I like that. And especially Brady is particularly reasonably priced on DraftKings as compared to FanDuel. So, you know, when I see stuff like that, I want to get him on DraftKings, but not on FanDuel, because that's who I am, and I like to shop for bargains.
He's not cost prohibitive over on FanDuel, but I see what you mean as far as the discount at $6,800 over on DraftKings is damn reasonable.
It's also a comparison of where he is compared to other quarterbacks. Like, he's not the most expensive quarterback on FanDuel, on DraftKings by any stretch. He's in the same price range with Goff and my, you know, some other quarterbacks that I probably like more, but he's within a couple hundred of Stafford. Like, he's right there with the rest of them. Whereas on FanDuel, he stands out a little bit as a slightly, like, a legitimately more expensive play than the rest of the guys. And that's really, it's more of a relative thing for me. Like, where's he priced relative to the rest of them, as opposed to, like, looking at the dollar-for-dollar numbers. But,
sure,
you know, Brady's just reasonably more than... Actually, you know, some of these other guys came up a bit, but, like, you can get Garoppolo for almost 1,000 less on FanDuel, but, like, it's, like, 200 on DraftKings. That's my point.
Makes good sense. When it, you know me, I love to see the paper plays getting rave reviews, so I'm all down with the Patriots this week. Let's do the Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. Golly, piss on piss. 41.5-point total with a 4-point spread in favor of Indianapolis. Probably their largest projected spread, favorite, you know, heaviest favorite they've been all year. There's a lot of green on this thing, though, with our DVP charts. So what I'm looking at, honestly, is bad defense on bad defense. And, Kevin, I know you love that one. So let's toss it to you and see if there's anything that kind of –
you know,
turns your head you this know week what, in this game.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because when I first looked at this slate, this was the first game that I looked at, and I was like, yes, I want to have exposure. I was basically like Littlefinger slinking in the corner having a creepy conversation with Sansa about, you know, some plotting and scheming. Yes, I will have many, many shares of T.Y. Hilton, Sansa. So that was my Game of Thrones impression, Marley.
It happened. I knew we were getting one. I just didn't know it was coming out in game three of the slate.
Yes, that was from Game of Thrones. Now, a little bit of the luster is off of this game because DeAndre Hopkins is now not going to play, and that really took away a little bit of what I wanted to do here. But, I mean, T.Y. Hilton owns the Texans. I've been saying this, I believe, now for literally 3 years every time these two teams play, and I keep thinking, but not this time. It can't be again. And then he goes out and torches them again. The guy owns this team. Houston happens to be the team that gives up big plays to wide receivers, because that's what they do. So I like T.Y. Hilton here. I like that his price is, I think, relatively reasonable on both sites, 5,700, 59 on DraftKings, 6,700 on FanDuel. And neither team has anything to play for. I was going to be all about, you know, the T.Y. Hilton, DeAndre Hopkins sort of combo, get a little Brissett in there, you know, just go nuts with this game. But now, obviously, without Hopkins, that takes a little bit of that shine off. But I still like Hilton. I like Doyle. I don't mind Jacoby Brissett as a punt. I don't mind it. He's not my favorite quarterback play. I might not play a lot of him, but I don't mind it. If I like Hilton, if Hilton's having a big game, Brissett is making value. Simple as that. What do you think, Marley?
Yeah, Hilton is one of my favorite plays on the slate. The last two times he has seen the Texans, he has had 22 targets, caught 14 of them for 290 yards and 3 touchdowns. So that's 67 points in 2 games against the Texans. I think he's just too much of a of a high ceiling player to pass up on this game. If he goes off, you have to have him on your team. And I think there's a good shot he does go off. This is at home in the dome where he's great. Brissett's playing for a job, whether that's with the Colts or with another team. So I think it would be smart of him to throw it to T.Y. as much as he can, since he's the most talented player on the team. And then the other guy I like on the Colts is Jack Doyle. He's going to get his 7 to 10 targets. And like you mentioned, throw some Brissett in there. I would have loved to bring it back with Hopkins, but since he's out, I think Fuller would be the play on the Texans. He could burn anybody on this Colts team. He could go off for two long touchdowns. And if we're going to have a shootout, someone's got to do it on the Texans, and I think he would be my favorite choice on that side. But T.Y. is the play in this game.
I was just about to comment that T.Y. is the type of player that I personally love to run in cash games, because not only does he have a floor, you know, this week in particular, based on his price and his salary too, he has a ceiling from hell. And so, you know, a lot of times we'll make 6, 7, 8 cash choices we think are safe. One or two will dud out anyway. You still need one of these guys on your roster that also has that ceiling to go with his floor, and that'll repair a lot of the damage in your cash games, push you right over those head-to-head barriers and those 50-50 lines. So,
absolutely. Nothing in the running game for either of these teams that I'm excited by, and I'm not a Frank Gore user, so whatever.
No, next one. I don't do Gore.
Yeah.
Next game is Cleveland Browns at Pittsburgh Steelers. This game has a little bit of intrigue too, at least on paper. Probably, I think you mentioned, Kevin, earlier this today, more from the Cleveland side, but it's got a really low total, 38.5, should push a lot of people away. Pittsburgh has an 11-point favorite to that spread, which gives them an implied total of around 25 points. I think that really and truly, if I had to pick a play out of this game, it might honestly be the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, although I know that that ruins any kind of Kaiser talk out of you. So, Kevin, I know you've got a couple of thoughts on the Browns. Let's throw it to Marley first and then bring it back with you and see if we don't push this game off in 10 minutes or less.
There we go.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of interest in this game. I think the Steelers will be sitting Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell, so that's where I would have wanted to go. The player I like the most is Josh Gordon. It's the last game of the season. I think they're going to want to use him as much as they can. He's seen a lot of targets lately. He had 8 last week, 11 the week before. So I think they will feed him. And if Big Ben is out, that should give the Browns more opportunity to have the ball and feed him a little bit more. Aside from Josh Gordon, I think maybe a shot at Corey Coleman and GPPs as a cheap punt would be okay. He could have a sneaky big game, and he will be low-owned. Aside from that, I really don't have a whole lot of interest in this game other than, like you said, the Steelers' defense, because the Browns do like turning the ball over.
That they do. But all right, so the big thing here is when you hear they're going to rest – I mean, they're not even starting Ben and Bell, right? So in essence, what the Steelers have said is, we don't give a shit about this game. We're going to lose it. So, they've announced that those two are going to sit, but in my mind, that means that their quality defensive players are going to sit as well. Or they're certainly not going to play this entire game. So, number one, I'm actually just trying to look up this current spread lines, because this minus 11 line is ridiculous. And I'm trying to see if that's still the same. All right, it's still minus 8, which is crazy, and I think I'm going to bet Cleveland. But aside from that, they're not going to be playing hard. So you just mentioned Josh Gordon. You mentioned Coleman. Might as well get Kaiser in the mix, because that's really the third step. Whenever I like two wide receivers but I don't like the quarterback, then I have to say, why don't I like this quarterback? I mean, I get that Kaiser sucks and he'll throw some interceptions. That's fine. But the Steelers probably aren't even going to roll out their starters on defense, or at least for the second half it'll be their second team. Whereas the Browns are a young team. They have no reason to rest anyone. They're going to play their guys. So to me, all of my interest is on the Browns side of the football. I don't like the Steelers defense either, to be quite honest, because I just don't think they're going to play their guys. I think they've given up the game before they played it. And that's just how I approach these week. Like I said, that's how I approach. Sometimes it's wrong. Like, we've seen situations where teams bring out the remember a couple of years ago where Ryan Flynn – who the hell was it? Matt Flynn came out for Green Bay and threw 6 touchdowns. you know, in a meaningless game. Like, that happens. But I've made a choice just not to care. Like, I've just made a choice that I don't give a shit when that happens. That will happen sometimes, and I don't care. It's like with Bitcoin trading. I'm like, yeah, I missed the boat. I'm not getting on board. I don't care how excited everybody else is. I'm not on board. I feel the same about playing guys who are like fill-ins in week 16-17. I don't think I'm on board. So my interest is on the Cleveland side, but I like it. I think, you know, I love Gordon this week. You know, I like Coleman, and I don't mind playing Kaiser. I mean, it's great. They're all very good GPP plays in my mind. And nothing to do with any Steelers, period.
So what else are we going to talk about the rest of this pod? We just got a Game of Thrones reference out of the way, a Bitcoin reference out of the way. I mean, I guess the only thing left for you to do is freestyle rap a game here.
That's not happening. No.
That's not going
to
happen?
No. Right, my technology is not able to get the music. That. I can't get the music going. So it's not happening.
You can't get a beat?
No.
Maybe Marley has some secret beatboxing powers that we don't know about.
I don't know about them either, then.
Oh, I'm telling you, I know I don't have them. I just end up spitting in a microphone. So, Washington Redskins at the New York Giants, 39-point total in this one, 3-point spread favoring Washington. I really don't see interest in this one. For me, personally, I don't know about you guys. Kevin, you first this
now,
one.
But you threw the 39-point total game at me to go first. This game is horrible.
Marley got the last one at 38.5.
No, I'm kidding.
Just sharing the love, man.
I'm kidding. This game is horrible. I've heard people talking about Washington, like, being interested in playing them. And I'm not on board. I understand that every team that faces the Giants seems to torch them. And so there's that. And I kind of think that the Redskins will play their starters for whatever that's worth. I think they're going to play them. I mean, well, you know, what do they care? They'll keep them out there. But, I mean, it's a meaningless game for both teams. The Giants, I could see, even though they're talking smack about having Eli roll out there. I mean, can anybody else see, like, in the fourth quarter, Joe Webb or whoever that guy is? I could totally see that taking over, and they're like, yeah, it's enough. And then at that point, neither team cares. It's just not the game I'm going to be excited to target at all this week. What do you think? What do you think, Marley?
Yeah, I don't love this game. I mainly don't love the Giants. I don't think I really have any interest at all on the Giants side. A little bit of interest on the Redskins with Kirk Cousins and playing for a new contract. He didn't look too good last week, so he's going to have to do a little bit better this week. And then the guy that would like to pair him with is Josh Doctson. He had 13 targets last week. He's only able to get two of those caught, though, but he had 61 yards and one touchdown. He had four targets in the red zone alone, so I think he is a good play this week if you're going with Cousins or if you just need a cheaper guy. Other than those two, I really don't have a lot of interest other than maybe Vernon Davis at tight end.
Do you think Cousins will wind up back with the Redskins on a long-term contract?
I mean, I really don't think so. I can see him going to, I don't know, maybe like a Broncos, where he just was last week and threw it to their defense probably more than he did his offense. But I don't know. I just don't think they're doing it, because if they were going to do it, they would have already. And he really didn't do a whole lot for them this year by not getting them to the playoffs. So I think they'll probably pass on that big contract and let somebody else do it.
I think it's fascinating, because I actually think Cousins is good. And
I think it would be smart of them, but
yeah,
I don't think the Redskins are very smart.
No, I mean, that must be – I don't understand how they haven't locked this guy up. Like, as a Jets fan, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, don't sign him. Thank you. I'll take him very happily. You know, like, yeah, I'll spend my money on that dude. It's not like we're going to draft anybody. That's good.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was a little surprised to hear that Cousins didn't look all that good. I didn't get to watch the game, but I will tell you, we were sweating the season-long championship of mine, and he won it for me handily. Well, not handily. I won by like 2.5 points, but the whole point is, when I get a picture of that trophy, I'm going to shoot that sucker out on Twitter and put it in Slack so that everybody can see this trophy that we're playing for. It is a beast.
So this was all basically a humble brag. Like,
this was a very humble brag.
Well, actually, he did do all right.
When I look at three TDs, one pick, 299 yards, I mean, for 23 FanDuel points, I mean, I don't know what our scoring was like. He got me 29, so maybe they threw me a few.
No, that's better than I thought he did, actually. I was remembering a worse game than that.
Yeah. We were sweating it back and forth, and he was the reason because he was way over his projection. He was not supposed to do good against Denver. So anyway, thought I'd bring it up. Humble brag. Not even a humble brag. When have I been humble? Anyway.
What do we got? What's the next one? Another ugly one.
Yeah, Chicago Bears at Minnesota Vikings, 39.5 point total, 11 point spread in favor of Minnesota. We know that Minnesota defense is nasty, but again, it all comes down to who wants to play for what other than pride. So since you've each done a 39 point total game, I'm just going to throw this one out to both of you, and the first one that wants to pick up the ball, run with it. I don't want to hear crickets.
Oh, again. I can make it pretty short.
Yeah, there we go. Go for it.
Stephon Diggs and the Vikings defense is really all I have any interest in. Diggs, I think, would be the receiver I would prefer at $1,600 cheaper than Thielen. And then this Bears offense is nothing special. The Vikings need a win to get a bye. So I think their defense will bring it, and they've averaged 16 points in the last two games. So I'll take 16 against this Bears team at
$3,900. My thing here is the Vikings actually do need to win, unfortunately. So it's not locked down. So my focus on this game is, do they have something to play for? Starting with that. And yes, the Vikings do have something to play for. They need to win. There's a couple of teams behind them that if they get a win could actually pass them. For that bye week spot. So we do know, yes, that they have to play, and that's the key. So now, once we understood that, how are they going to attack Chicago? And, you know, we've seen a few games with Chicago where, and I agree with you, I like Diggs, you know, one-offs, but it's not an offense that I want to, like, get crazy on, and mainly, or have a ton of exposure to, and that's mainly because I don't think Chicago's really going to be able to score on these guys, or that they should be able to score on them at all. And so we've seen Minnesota, when they can take kind of an easy, comfortable lead, they lead on the run. We saw it last week, and it ends up being like a Latz Murray kind of thing, and I don't think it's explosive for any of these guys. So yeah, outside of maybe a little bit of Diggs or Thielen, like GPP exposure type stuff, this game just, to me, is a pass. And I have no interest on the – absolutely no interest on the Chicago side. And like I said, I'd like the Vikings a lot more. We've seen what happens with the Vikings. I mean, when they can just take a lead and lean on the run, they'll do it. And Keenum will get you 9 points. And Diggs had the good game last week, but, you know, Thielen comes in with a 6. And Thielen's been slumping. So, you know, outside of kind of a contrarian scenario, I just don't think they're going to need them. And I want teams that need to throw if I'm going for those wide receivers where either they're going to be – in a close game or coming back from behind at home, efficient, you know, where I can trust those wide receivers. I don't feel like I can trust these guys this week. So, yeah, it's not a whole lot of excitement for me.
There you have it. There you are. So we got pretty much three kind of duddish games in a row with a little bit of pickings on, you know, very, very little meat on the bones. Let's jump into Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, another 39.5 point total game. A little closer spread, anyway, if that means anything to anybody. Dallas is favored by 3. Philly absolutely has nothing to play for, as I'm sure you guys are going to really, really focus on. But does that mean that we have anything on Dallas? I mean, this is a rivalry game, at least. Does that mean anything to either one of you guys?
I mean, with Philly, I mean, the key is they have nothing to play for. This is one of those lying coaching staff situations where the coach is, well, we're going to play them, or, you know, we're approaching it like a full game. You know, they give you these stories that are all phony baloney. So the way I look at that is, no, they have nothing to play for, and I don't trust anybody on the Eagles, period. None of them. And as far as the Redskins go, yeah, the Cowboys go, yeah, they're going to play it out because they have pride, and they're going to, you know, if you want to play some Zeke, okay. You know, he's on the slate. He ain't got nothing to rest for, and if you have the extra budget to spend, I don't have a problem rolling out Zeke, although it's not a great on paper matchup. I could see the Eagles just pulling their starters and then there's just nothing. And then, you know, it's just not that good of a game, though. I don't know if I'm going to play Zeke either. What about you, Big Marl?
I don't like this game at all. I haven't clicked a single person in this game. I guess Zeke would be the guy if you really want some exposure, but I literally have zero interest in this game.
Yeah, let's wipe it out. Let's go to the next one.
Let's do a fan-based question for real football fans. Did Zeke's suspension and the timing of it cost Dallas the playoffs? Yeah. Or were they not good enough to make it anyway?
Yeah, I think Zeke is that team, and if he was there, they probably would have made it.
I agree, but I think just as bad as Zeke's suspension was Tyron Smith's injury. True. So, I mean, it was like a twofold disaster for them. First, it was, of course, you know, the Zeke thing, and then Smith getting hurt. I mean, that just doesn't help. That doesn't help the situation at all. So the guy who replaced Smith, I've been watching these Cowboys games every week, and he is just terrible. Like, if you put any kind of pass rush on that dude, he's one of the – I've seen guys, tackles like this, but you don't normally see them for multiple weeks in the NFL because, you know, you just got to switch a guy. He's terrible. So it's amazing how taking a team from having the best offensive line to one horrible weak link, and they couldn't make up for that weak link. They just hadn't figured out how to deal with it and how bad they became because of that. It really was kind of eye-opening, I would say. I guess to see how good that Smith tackle really is.
There you go.
Yeah, he's
let's
great.
Move to the bad let's that. Move to the 4 p.m. games. Cincinnati Bengals at Baltimore Ravens. We've got a couple of defenses on the map. We know that Baltimore's another defense that we like. We got a 40-point total on the game, pretty low, 9.5-point spread in favor of home team Baltimore Ravens. I'll ask you a question here at the end. Let me let you guys throw it all out there, and then I'll bring it back with a defense question here in a little bit. Marley, is it your turn to fire off first?
That's fine. I also don't love this game too much either. I like it more than the last game, I guess, just because I might have some interest in A.J. Green. Everyone will be going to Keenan Allen and Julio at the top of the wide receiver, so you can get them at a low-owned in tournaments, you can get them low on. So I would only have exposure in GPPs. I have no interest in this game at all in cash. Another guy I kind of like on the other side of the ball is Mike Wallace. He's had a quiet good year. He's been getting at least 10 points in basically all of his last, 7 games except for one. So he's a safe floor, it looks like, and he's never highly owned. So you can get him and then bring it back with A.J. Green, and you'll differentiate your lineup from everybody. And if they go off, you'll be sitting pretty. But those are really just GPP shots. Other than that, I don't like a whole lot in this game. Alex Collins, a big favorite at home. You can go that route if you want, but I'd prefer to stay away from Alex Collins. So, yeah, that's really all I got.
I mean, again, going back to the beginning stuff, right? Baltimore doesn't have a whole lot to play for. I believe they've clinched either the 5th or 6th seed in the playoffs. Like, they don't have a whole ton to play, but they, it's not like they don't have anything to play for either. They could change their seeding and stuff like that. So I think they're both going to play the game all the way through, both of these teams. Bengals don't have any reason to rest anyone, and Baltimore does have what to play for in the sense of some seeding things. Not where they're going to try super hard, but yeah, they have what to play for. The last few weeks, Collins continues to do fine. You know, he's getting a lot of touches. He had 18 carries and 3 receptions last week. Fine. He didn't have a big score. Put up a 9.6 on DraftKings. Didn't get in the end zone. But he continues to do his thing. And the problem with Collins is, you know, Woodhead and Allen continue to be reasonably involved as well, which kind of cuts into his ceiling a little bit. But the plus for Collins has been Baltimore is such a running team that there's just plenty of action to go around for all these running backs. So the Bengals kind of suck defensively. They're probably ready for the season to be over. You know, this has been a disaster of a year for them. They don't have anything super scary in their defense that tells you to be scared of attacking it. So, I mean, I actually don't mind Collins here. I mean, if Wallace was healthy, I wouldn't hate him. It's, again, with this low total, it's not a game I'm going to go bananas on. And A.J. Green is always in play. I never have any problem playing that guy, no matter what the matchup, because the scarier the matchup, sometimes the better he seems to do, and or the lower his ownership is. So for that reason, yeah, totally fine with rocking some A.J. Grizzles. But not a ton of interest here outside of maybe an Alex Collins, and I'm not even sure I'm going to go there either because his salary is not quite cheap enough to really excite me. You know, it's okay, but it's not like quite cheap enough to get me salivating. So it's just all right for me.
Let me ask you this. We mentioned a couple of defenses. Pittsburgh, you said you didn't like them. Marley was all right with them. Minnesota, kind of the whole game's a stay away. This game sounds a lot similar out of both of your mouths, but if you had to play one of those three defenses, could you pick one, or is there another one down the road coming that you guys are more looking forward to?
I mean, I got another one down the road.
I definitely have other defenses I like a lot more, but I don't mind the Ravens defense here just because they're massive favorites. I don't mind the Patriots defense either, by the way. They could crush the Jets and do a lot of scoring. So
true.
I mean,
I wondered if you might go back to that one.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, it's Bryce Petty, you know, on the road. I mean, yeah. And Minnesota, sure, at home. Okay. There's a lot of defense. I mean, all these low-scoring games, there's actually a lot of choices for defenses. But I think the way I'm going to go with defense this week may be to target some of these teams that are already promising to start their backups.
Yeah, I got the defensive play coming up here in a little bit.
Awesome. Let's move to Buffalo at Miami. Let's talk about those Dolphins a little bit. 42.5-point total, actually the highest one of the last five we've mentioned, so there is that. 2.5-point spread in favor of Buffalo, and, I mean, God, I don't know about you, Kevin. I'm out.
I'm not out on this one. I'm going a different way with it. Listen, the Dolphins haven't had anything to play for all season, but they continue to play the games, right? So I don't see them resting starters or doing anything different this week, which is fine by me. I just go back to the guys that have been doing it for the Dolphins. Kenyon Drake, I mean, the Bills are very vulnerable against the rush, and, yeah, Kenyon Drake is coming off a tough road spot in a game where I definitely did not expect him to do anything, and he did what he was expected to do, which was bad. But now he's at home against the Bills, full workload. Sure, I like Kenyon Drake here. Why not? Cutler, Landry, Drake. I'm down with all three. For the Bills, the only player who's ever interesting for me is actually, I'm going to add in a second one. McCoy is mildly interesting. I like him more. I don't know if I love him, but I don't mind him. And for a crazy contrarian play, if he's healthy, I guess maybe Calvin Benjamin for cheap. Coming off a 7-target game. I've also heard the name Clay, the tight end, bandied about. Buffalo needs to win. They have a chance at the playoffs. So I think both teams are going to play it hard. Actually, it makes me, remembering that Buffalo needs to win makes me like their offense a little bit more. What do you say, Kyle?
Yeah, Bills have an outside shot at making the ends of the playoffs, so they are playing to win. So it doesn't matter to me whether Miami rests their starters or not. I don't think it'll make a whole lot of difference. Their starters aren't the greatest anyways. Charles Clay, I do think, is a good tight end play. He's seen 19 targets the past 2 weeks. He's definitely one of Taylor's favorite targets. And then, obviously, Shady's a play every week. So that's where most of my interest would lie in this game is McCoy and Clay. But if you do want to bring it back, Landry's always a safe play who's going to get his targets. And then you mentioned Drake. He's still 7,200, so I just don't like his price tag. But he's been putting in the work and putting up some nice points. So if you really want to, you can stack this game up in tournaments. I think it will be low-owned and could be a sneaky shootout.
I hear that. There we go.
Makes me look a little bit deeper. How much of a value is Kenyon Drake? Is he one of the first two people you're slotting in? I know you said you're a little cost prohibitive there, Marley, but Kevin, what about you? Is he one of the first two guys you're reaching for at running back?
No, but his salary is high enough that he's not some special value. You know, he's at $7,000 on both sides, so I like him a little more on FanDuel, where relatively less expensive. But we also have to see how the slate shakes out with a couple of injury situations, particularly the Austin Eckler / Melvin Gordon potential injury situation that might free up a free square with Brandon Oliver. So, you know, there's a couple of scenarios like that that might present value. But You know, I haven't really considered, like, I like Dion Lewis, I think maybe a little bit more. So there's a couple other spots where I like a little bit more. But remember, most of the studs are kind of off limits this week. I mean, Gurley and Bell are pretty much out. They are out. So, I mean, at the top end, you don't really have a very, very interesting top end of the running back situation. So, yeah, I mean, Drake and Lewis are pretty much the premier names at the position, you know, outside of, I don't know, maybe the guys from the Saints. So it should be interesting how to attack the running back position this week.
Okay. Let's move to Carolina at Atlanta, because this one should have a little bit of spice to it. I know the 45-point total here looks like a 60 this week, but Atlanta's carrying the 4-point favorite in hot Atlanta. So let's well, it's probably not so hot this time of year. Let's see where we're going. Cam really dropped the dud on us last week. He may have repaired a little bit of it late with that goofy fumble, scoop, and score crap on paper. Anything?
Thank goodness for that.
No,
that was awesome.
No kidding. But man, and that was pretty cool watching him light the birthday candle on the football and give that away. I like the celebrations this year. Marley, anything that you see in this game that you're really, really focused on? I assume there's at least a little bit.
Yeah, Julio Jones.
Shocker.
Me some Julio. no different this week. Carolina cornerbacks are pretty garbage, actually. And according to Pro Football Focus, Julio Jones has the best matchup of any receiver on the week. So that helps me as well. I think that makes him cash viable this week. Usually he's a GPP play for me, but I think you can use him in cash. And then I love to bring it back with Christian McCaffrey. We talked about how bad Atlanta is against receiving running backs last week with Kamara. He didn't have the game we wanted him to, but he still did all right. He had 16 points in a bad game. So, I mean, Christian McCaffrey can do just the same thing. He can get over 10 targets in this game. So I think I'll have a lot of Julio and McCaffrey lineups. Other than that, I think Cam Newton and Matt Ryan would be the other two plays from this game. Both should be pretty safe plays for their price. Both teams are playing to win. So I like that a lot. This game could be a shootout, but I'm going to have most of my exposure in Julio and C-Mac.
I'm absolutely in agreement as far as the two teams needing to play to win. So it's an all-hands-on-deck scenario as far as that goes. There's no player I'm going to shy away from, and Julio Jones, all good. You know, obviously, Julio is no longer a cash play. He just doesn't have the consistency. But sure, in tournaments, definitely. I like Newton. I'll go right back to that again. No problem with that. McCaffrey, go right back to that. Last week was weird. Newton gets injured. He gets hit in the nuts. Some strange stuff was going on. But Godwin, I don't mind him. Chris Godwin. You know, so I don't know if Funchess, what his deal is. Like, we got to look at some injury situations. And I'm probably less high on Olsen maybe than I was the week before. But, you know, Atlanta is not that good against tight ends either. So, I mean, I kind of think maybe a little Olsen as well. And exactly that narrative that you said. I mean, with Atlanta, you attack them with pass-catching running backs. So McCaffrey should be fine. You know, all hands on deck.
I will say that Julio Jones is the second most expensive wide receiver on the slate, which is without Antonio Brown and without DeAndre Hopkins, is kind of saying something. He's Keenan Allen's actually higher priced than him this week.
Yeah, interesting.
At least on FanDuel, which I thought was actually very interesting. For those people that want to play Keenan Allen over Julio, you might want to think about that $200. Let's move to the New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've got ourselves another division rival, and of course, New Orleans is playing for something. We've got a crappy defense in the Buccaneers. We've got a 50.5-point total and a 7-point spread in favor of the road team New Orleans. Imagine if this was in the Big Easy, what that spread would be. Second highest implied team total on the slate of 28.75 points as of right now. Kamara, Mike Thomas, maybe. I mean, those are the household names. Are you guys running it back with any Buccaneers, I guess, is the main question.
I don't mind Evans here either. I don't mind the Bucs at all. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a great situation. It's not something I'm getting super excited for. But, you know, Evans is okay. He's going to be covered by Marshon Lattimore, so that's not ideal. but I mean, they're going to probably feed him. And I think Winston had some comments about, you know, him needing to feed Evans more for whatever that's worth. Mike Thomas got the dreaded Q tag. I don't know what his deal is, but he should be fine. But I'd say the thing
he is down there in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. Maybe they've been hanging out after hours and picked up a little bit of that vaginitis.
Yeah, a little bit of always hurt. But no, I think it's Kamara and Ingram once again. I mean, Kamara's price came down a bit on DraftKings. I like that. I like that. Price came down. Ingram, his price come down quite a bit as well in the last couple weeks. And they continue to produce. I mean, Ingram, like, he had a quiet game. He put up 16 points last week. I mean, it's fine. Guy continues to produce, and this is the Bucks, so you got to attack them on all cylinders. And yeah, I'm down with these running backs. That's my main interest in this game. I'm not going to be super excited about any of the Bucks offense, but I just like these running backs for the Saints. What about you, Big Marl?
Yeah, you just said it, man. The running backs. That's where I want my exposure. I've been riding the Kamara train all season. I'm not going to stop now. Like I just said in the last game breakdown, he had 16 points last weekend. We were upset with it. So he's got a pretty freaking high floor with the amount of targets he gets. And then Ingram, he had a good game as well. So they could both put up 20 points in the same game. I don't even mind running them together on the same team in GPPs to differentiate yourself there. But, yeah, that's where most of my interest is in this game. Michael Thomas had a little pulled hammy last week in practice. So I think that made him have a lesser of a game than he would have last week, and I don't trust hammy injuries, so I'd rather stay away from him. I think he'll be used more as a decoy, get him healthy for the playoffs. But they are playing to win. I just think they could do it with their running backs. And then bringing it back, yeah, you mentioned Mike Evans, but I think him guarded by Lattimore does worry me, so I'd rather not pay that $7,200 price tag. DeSean Jackson coming off of an injured ankle, I don't trust that at all, so I don't have a whole lot of interest in this Bucks offense. So let's go Saints running backs.
That was easy enough.
It was easy. It was fast and easy. I was wondering if now I don't see it being worth it personally, but I wondered if there was any shootout scenario at that 50-point total where we might be chasing points with Jameis Winston and his 360 yards passing. I don't see it. It doesn't sound like either one of you two do either.
I mean, so I don't mind it. I don't hate it. Like I said, I don't mind it, but it's not something it's just not a play that I'm going to be – Heavily targeting.
Can you see a scenario where New Orleans is blowing them out and Mike Evans and Jameis Winston have to play catch up late in the game and you just run in Kamara or Ingram or both, hell, and then run it back with Winston and Evans? I don't know if you could afford all that.
I just don't think the motivation would be there if they're getting blown out in the last game of the season. They really don't have anything to play for, so I don't see them even wanting to be out there on the field if they're getting blown out. I think it would have to be a shootout for these guys to pay off their salaries. And then, like I said, Jackson, I feel like gets banged up every single game that he's in, and a speed guy coming off an ankle injury, I just don't want anything to do with that. Chris Godwin, if he's
got that healthy, Q tag going on, by the way. So
yeah,
it's not,
if he's
it's
healthy,
not
I don't know. So yeah, that's why I don't really have much interest, because Evans would definitely be the play, but I think his ownership will be too high, especially with Lattimore on him.
Yeah, I mean, Lattimore's good. That's what, and Evans has not shown himself to be a wide receiver that beats good coverage. So, you know, simple as that for me.
Yeah, fair enough for me. And then you mentioned the hammy injury of Michael Thomas. Soft tissue injuries are not something to mess with either. So, rock and roll, Oakland Raiders at L.A. Chargers. 42-point total, 7.5 points favoring the Chargers. The home team took me half the season to get that thing flying off the tongue, that L.A. Chargers baloney. Are we paying up with Keenan Allen this week to be contrarian, or is he in such a good spot that he's just going to garner the ownership anyway?
I mean,
I'm a Julio guy, but I think I will have some Julio and Keenan Allen lineups. He burned a lot of people last week, so I like that because his ownership will be lower from it this week. So I do like Keenan Allen quite a bit this week. And Kevin already mentioned if Gordon's out, Brandon Oliver becomes a pretty clear play. So I like him as well. Yeah, my favorite play is definitely Keenan Allen. You can bring him back with a cheap Amari Cooper at 5,200. The cornerbacks on the Chargers are pretty decent, so I'll – I might want to stay away from the Cooper, but if you're stacking up this game, I think that's how you want to bring him back.
Yeah, and I just want to mention with this game, the Chargers are in that group with the Bills and the Ravens that need the win. Right? One of these teams is getting in. Titans are in this grouping where they need the win. So one thing we know is the Chargers are going all out for this game, which makes me like Keenan Allen very much. I mean, this is the Raiders. They're not good on defense. And we've seen the Chargers just destroy them in the past. So, yeah, I like Keenan Allen also. I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Julio because I just think it's just a different situation for me. But Allen's going to get more targets than a Julio Jones in most weeks. He just does. So he's a higher floor player, more of a cash play for me. And I'm mostly excited in this game to find out like what the deal is with the running back situation for the Chargers. You know, is this going to be the coming out party for Brandon Oliver? Coming out party for Brandon Oliver. I've seen, you know, I remember Brandon Oliver from a couple of years ago, and, you know, he's fine. You know, he's fine. He can play. He's put up good scores over his career. He's 4,000. He's minimum salary. Didn't look great in a couple of plays he played last week, but, you know, that was the Jets, and the Jets, well, actually, there's no excuse. That was a very hard-fought, slow game, and there wasn't a whole lot of running room there. But, I mean, Brandon Oliver is one of the keys to this entire slate, particularly on DraftKings. I mean, if he plays and he's the starter and there's no one else, he's going to be your free square of the slate. So that's the situation for the Chargers that's interesting for me, and I think they're going to have to throw to Allen because, again, with Brandon Oliver out there, it's not like they're going to dominate or they should be dominating this game via the run, so they're going to have to throw it. Like Allen, I don't mind Antonio Gates. Let's go back to that. Why not?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, but I've got since you just got that one out of the way, let me go White House press corps on you, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I want a quick follow-up before you move on.
Wait, what's his name? Who's the guy from? Who's the CNN guy? Who I don't know. I forget it. Just go. I can't remember his name. There's one guy who always likes to take digs. I can't remember his name.
Comparison-wise, the price is very, very close. Philip Rivers or Tom Brady? Which one would you take? Or are they both just fine to you, flip a coin?
I mean, I think you got to stack these guys. I think it's Rivers with Allen or Brady with Gronk. I don't think it's this guy or that guy straight up because neither one of them is going to be in my cash play most likely. So I'm just looking at these as stack situations. I'm looking at if I'm going to play Allen, I'm probably playing Rivers. If I'm going to play Gronk, I'm probably playing Brady, and it's as simple as that.
Well, the follow-up question would be if Oliver becomes the free square, would you run Rivers, Gates, Oliver, or Rivers, Oliver, Keenan Allen and be comfortable with it, all that exposure to this one Chargers team?
Yeah, I mean, personally, and Kyle, you might have a different opinion on this, but me personally, I don't differentiate. If my free square is on the same team as other players, I don't care. Because I'm playing the free square not because I think he has a 29-point massive upside. I'm playing him because he is a value play, and he's going to get me points for cheap. So he's going to get me touches and targets for cheap. That's why I'm using him. I'm not using that guy because I think he's going to score a ton of points or that he's going to interfere with other plays that I'm in, you know, that I'm doing.
First one, I think I would say GPP, I would go Rivers. Cash, I would go Brady. And then the second question, I think, yeah, if Oliver's getting the start, I think it would not be too much to go Rivers, Oliver, Keenan. I think that would be the stack I would prefer. And then if you're bringing it back, the Cooper, if that's what you want to do. Ooh. But I think Brandon Oliver will mainly be used in the passing game if he is the starting running back. So really that only helps Rivers. And it makes a ton of sense to stack him with Keenan Allen as well. If Rivers goes off, those two have a good chance of doing the same.
Wonder if Oliver brings enough value along with some of the others that you guys mentioned earlier on to put Gronk in there as the tight end and then run that Chargers stack.
I like it.
That could be very sexy.
You can see it.
Move on to the next game, another 4:30 game, Arizona Cardinals at Seattle Seahawks, division rival. I know Seattle has something to play for. I think Arizona's pretty much rolled over and crapped the bed. 38.5 point total on this game. That one actually is the lowest one we've come across, at least in quality. I think we may have had one other one at that. But the 9.5 point spread in favor of the Eagles suggests running, but
the Seahawks
with Kevin Marley took the last one. You fire this one off. Interested in any of the only running you should be interested in probably is Russell Wilson. Am I right?
The only running I'm interested in is running away from this horrible game. So hopefully I don't have to watch it. Yeah, I mean, the thing here is the Seahawks need to win. And I have been a Mike Davis fan, even though he keeps burning. I don't know why I do this. I'm a glutton for punishment. I've been targeting Seahawks running backs for two seasons, I feel like. And you know how, Kyle, you know how when you're like on a train, it's hard to get off? You're just like, yep. I'm going to keep riding this and riding this. This is like that stock I bought once called Citadel. Okay? And they owned radio stations. And I don't know what the hell. It was like a dividend stock. And I'm like, I'll buy some of this. Fine. And it starts going down. And I'm like, man, they got Don Imus in the morning. This thing shouldn't be going down. So as it's going down, I'm buying more and more. And it keeps going, oh, we got the football.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually they went out of business. Like, this was the worst disaster. I just couldn't accept defeat. I just kept going back and back and like, oh, well, it's a dollar now. I mean, you know, all I need is it for it to bounce to two and I'll make my money back if I buy another 10,000 shares. And it was one of those. And eventually
you sound like my stepfather. That was all the jargon my stepfather used. Look up a company sometime called Butler National.
I don't even. Oh my God. Yeah, just look up Citadel. They're same awful. Story. I'd be listening to the conference call. The CEO would be like, "No, we're doing great."
He was did the same thing.
Yeah,
he did the same thing, and he was talking about, "Well, I'm just buying out my overall average cost per share." I'm
like, oh, shut up. Yeah, that's how you lose all your money. That's how. Trust me, a lot of people are going to lose their fortune in Bitcoin that same way. But it's 10,000 now. I'm going to buy some. And it's 5,000. Shit, I got to buy some more. That's what's going to happen. So anyway, I keep getting on board the train. And it's weird that the price of Mike Davis keeps going up as he doesn't perform week after week. I don't get it. But now he's 4,700 on DraftKings. So the cruel, cruel people at DraftKings continue. Now, he gets all these touches, but he doesn't do anything with them. 15 touches. I mean, he's the workhorse for this team right now. But I don't know if I'm going to be – oh, wait, he's 4,100. All right, not 47. All right, at least that. I thought I read 47. At least that. But outside of that situation, I mean, you can't trust Doug Baldwin. He hasn't done shit. He hasn't done a damn thing. And Russell Wilson should be fine. I don't know. In general, this game isn't super exciting. I got to be honest. I wanted to tell my stock tanking story more so than – that was a lot more interesting than this game. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of interest in this game. Last week, I got burned pretty hard by not having Larry Fitzgerald. He had 15 targets. He turned that into 9 receptions for 119 yards and a touchdown. So that 30 points I could have really used on my team. I don't know if I want to get burned again by fading him. So I might have a little bit of interest in Fitzgerald. I think mainly if I'm stacking this team up, this game up, it's going to be Russ to Baldwin, and I'm bringing it back with Fitzgerald. But other than that, it's really just Fitzy as a one-off, and I don't have much else. Jimmy Graham will probably be a little too popular. He's only had 10 receptions in the last four games, so he's just not being looked at, and I don't think I want to have anything to do with him. So, actually, that's 10 targets, not even receptions. He said 5 receptions. So, yeah, I don't want anything to do with Jimmy Graham, especially at the ownership that he'll get just because of his name.
You know, the reminder about Fitzgerald, I did have him last week, and I was running. I had a shot at, like, a really sweet finish, and then they just stopped. They took such a lead, they just went to garbage time and just didn't go to him anymore. But, yeah, that was pretty cool, actually. What Fitzgerald did, and he has to be of interest again here. I want to go back to that. Yeah, Fitzgerald is somebody I'd be interested in here in this game, because Stanton, again, he's just throwing to Fitzgerald every single time. That's all he does. He just none of these other wide receivers are worth anything. So they just go to Fitzgerald over and over and over again. So I think he has a super high floor. And I don't see why they don't play out the game and do their best, because what else they got to do? It's a young quarterback. Well, I don't know if Stanton's young, but, you know, he's not a starter. So he wants to show off his stuff. And unless they, some for whatever reason, and I doubt they will, decide to sit Larry like old man, take a rest, I don't think they'll do that. So, yeah, Fitzgerald, actually. Good reminder on that.
Yeah, sweet. Well, let's move to a game that ought to really put everybody to sleep. Kansas City versus Denver in Denver. 38-point total. That is officially the lowest one we've talked about so far. 3.5 points for the Denver Broncos, because I don't even know if Kansas City's going to get on the plane and go out there. At least our starters aren't going to. Does that ever open up anything like a Charkandrick West or anything, or is this just a wholesale get the hell out of here?
I'm going to tell you, for me, again, I already told you, my philosophy, and there are people talking about Pat Mahomes or some shit or another, that goes against my philosophy. I will not touch anybody from Kansas City, not Charkandrick West. You want to know why? Charkandrick West is a guy they're counting on to be their backup. It's going to be the third guy or the fourth. It's going to be that other Hunt guy, Akeem Hunt. You know, like, it'll be some random guy. And that
Kareem and Akeem.
No, it's not even Kareem. It's Akeem. It's the other Hunt. And the other thing is, Denver's defense isn't bad. You know, they got a good rush defense. They have a good defense overall, and they're not going to let some backups, team full of backups, come in and embarrass them. They have pride. Von Miller has pride. These guys are prideful men, grown men. They're going to play hard. So I like Denver defense is what I like in this game. And I think you can go back to C.J. Anderson. I don't know what the hell is going on with C.J. Anderson, but, like, that dude was on my fantasy team. He crushed me, didn't make the playoffs. And then all the playoff weeks, he just, like, crushed. So thanks for nothing.
Is that your defense call? Was that the one you were waiting on?
No, but I don't mind Denver at all. It's one of the ones I like. What do you say, Kyle?
Yeah, I would kind of go against your philosophy on this one with Mahomes. I think he's a decent cash game play just because of his rushing upside. I think he can get a rushing touchdown in this one, and that's really all you're going to need if he can do an okay job through the air. But I don't want to ruin two spots if he does have a bad game, so I would only run him out naked. The only other play I even have interest in at all is Demaryius Thomas against these backup Chiefs players. He's going to get his looks. With Emmanuel Sanders out, he should get even more. So that's the only two people I'm looking at, is Mahomes and Demaryius Thomas.
And we will put that game to bed and just move right on. San Francisco 49ers at the L.A. Rams. Now, the L.A. Rams have to get on the bus because it's in their home stadium, but I don't think that a lot of them are playing either. San Francisco comes into town with a 3-point favorite on the road, 43.5-point total. Kevin, did you mention earlier today to some of our members that even Goff is not playing?
Goff and Gurley are going to be sat, which tells me that all of the starters are not going to play. So basically, this is the 49ers against the second string team for the Rams. And I don't begrudge the Rams doing this move at all. They kicked ass this year. They had a great season. They actually have what to play for, in the sense that, like, there is some benefit, I guess, to winning as far as their seeding goes, but not to the point where it really makes a significant difference. So, like, they can't get the bye. So I think for them it's between the third and the fourth seed, if I remember correctly. And they can't get the bye. So, and they're pretty much – they might actually be locked into the third seed. I'm not sure if they can lose that spot. So and they might get the fourth seed. There is some way. But either way, they've made their decision. They're not playing this game. And I'm going to respect that decision by not using anybody from the Rams.
And by not playing it as well?
No, I want to play this game very much. This is one of my favorite games from the 49ers side of it. I love Garoppolo. Love that dude. Or as I like to call him, Tom Brady Light. Okay? I like him. I like Marquise Goodwin? I don't like Marquise Goodwin. I love Marquise Goodwin. And in this game, it's going to be a borderline all-in play for me. he gets targeted like crazy. You know, Aaron Donald, they're not going to play their defense, their stars on defense, and while they're sitting their quarterback and their running back. They're just not. I guess anything can happen, but I'm going with the assumption that they're not playing those guys. Or if those guys start the game, they won't be out there by the third quarter. And so it just opens things up for that San Francisco offense. I don't mind Carlos Hyde here. I don't mind Goodwin. Even if you want to get silly with some of these other guys like Trent Taylor, fine by me. Fine by me. George Kittle. Is the other tight end injured for these guys? I've been wanting a tight end for... Actually, no. I'll check on that other tight end. But what do you think on this one, Kyle?
Here is the defense I was talking about. Let's go with the 49ers against Rams backups. We got the 49ers at 2,100 on DraftKings. And I think point per dollar, they're by far the best defense you can get. If you're trying to spend up elsewhere, that allows you to do it. And so far, I've put them on every team I've created. So I like the 49ers defense as my favorite play in this game. I also like stacking them up with Carlos Hyde. I think most people will go to Garoppolo because he's the talk around town. So he'll get some decent ownership, which I think will take away from Hyde's ownership. Therefore, I like putting him in tournaments. I think he's cash viable as well. Other than that, I really don't like anything on the Rams side of the ball. I don't know who's going to be playing other than maybe Malcolm Brown if you want to save more money at running back. He should get a full workload at 3,900. So if you want to play the backup route, I guess Malcolm Brown would be the guy to go to. But my interest lies in Hyde and San Fran D.
I am down with that. San Francisco defense, I should. Yeah, I'm 100% down with that too. Sean
Mannion.
I like
that call too.
Yeah, Sean Mannion. What I like about it is the other thing, obviously Sean Mannion. We don't know who the Sean Mannion character is or if he's any good. San Francisco defense been playing better under Garoppolo. And the best part is 49ers are so cheap that no one's going to choose them because people are loath to take very, very inexpensive plays, as I always say. They see it, it's too cheap, they move on to something else, they assume that that means cheap is bad. So you'll get that defense at low ownership in a great spot. I mean, can anybody else see Mannion coming out and throwing three interceptions? Because, yeah, I can see that.
Sure. This is reminiscent of about midway through the season when people were saying kind of take a flyer on a defense that was so cheap. And I got to be honest with you, just like you just said, Kyle, every single lineup I built, I needed value. That was the one sure place I could get it and not really give a crap what happened. I mean, it had a chance to blow up, and if it didn't, it didn't cost me anything. So I threw the New Orleans Saints defense out there everywhere for dirt cheap. They blew up for 30-something points. So, I mean, I can see it happening. I think that there's a good chance, but even if it doesn't, then, I mean, it doesn't really cost you anything at 2,100.
Yeah.
Just don't get a negative.
Even I can see that being a cash defense.
I can see it being cash defense. I like that call a lot. That was not even on my radar. So, once again, guys, DFSArmy.com pays to listen.
There we go.
How about the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans? You learn something every time you plug into these guys. I'm telling you, just I get the joy of picking you guys' brains and just sitting back and teaching myself some DFS at the same time. Jacksonville Jaguars at Tennessee Titans, 42-point total, 3-point spread in favor of the Tennessee Titans. And, boy, oh, boy. Is Bortles still viable?
No. The Jags have nothing. Let's start here. The Jags have nothing to play for. And while they are claiming that they're going to start their starters, blah, 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 they're locked into their spot and they have nothing to play for. I do not expect them. Or if they leave their starters out for most of this game or all of this game, good on them. But I ain't counting on it. And I'm not betting on it. So as much as I think they're talking that way, well, we're going to play, I don't believe them. These guys are locked into the third seed. They can't go anywhere, win or lose, no help. So I'm not touching Bortles. I'm not going with this team. I don't trust it. And again, I'm sticking with my philosophy on that, and I'm just going to stick to it because I don't want to get burned.
I just wanted to mention the dude's name once this year. because I haven't mentioned it at all.
Bortles. Well, that, you know what? Hey, Bortles had a lot of good weeks in a row, and I definitely used him the last few weeks. No, I'm not touching that side of this game. The Titans need the win to get in. So it's the Titans side of the football that is interesting because they're going to be going all out. And I wish I could trust Derrick Henry, but, man, how many times has DeMarco Murray come in and, like, limped out and just, like, limped around out there and just kind of killed Derrick Henry's value, even when it seemed like he was injured? I mean, I've been there a lot of times, man, but I have to tell you, if we knew for sure that it's Henry all day, you know, he's probably the best play on this in this game. But what do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, Henry is the play in this game. It's going to be hard not to put him in most of my lineups if Murray is out. I think he could blow up and get two touchdowns over 100 yards. So I like him a lot as long as Murray's sitting. But yeah, you said it for Jacksonville. I don't trust them at all. I don't really want to play anybody. If I do touch anyone, it's going to be DeeDee Westbrook, just because I invested so much the last 2 weeks. And he burned me, so I might have to go back to him. But I don't recommend anybody else do that.
You're going
to
double down on Citadel on its tank. The thing with Henry I want to point out is, man, these situations pop up before with, like, you watch with your eyes DeMarco Murray limping around, guys clutching at his hamstring, like, dude, this guy ain't going to play for a few weeks. And he's doubtful the day of. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, he's going to suit up today. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm playing Henry. Right? I just want to ignore it. And they're like, well, it looks like he's warming up out there. And I'm like, no. Come on. He was just doubtful yesterday. And then it comes out and, like, DeMarco Murray goes for 30 rushes and 105. And I'm like, really? This was the game he had his best game? Like, his doubtful all week, the hamstring all busted up. So he's ruined quite a few Derrick Henry free square parties for me in the past. And so I hope that's not the case here. But I'm just going to point out, Kyle, because you're not a FanDuel guy, as cheap as Derrick Henry's $5,500 feels on DraftKings, the $5,900 FanDuel salary is relatively cheaper and a legitimate free square if you could play him.
And he's the type of player you like in FanDuel. You don't got to worry about too many catches out of the backfield. It's all those rushing touchdowns that he's going to put in for you.
100%. And if you know, Henry does his damage on the last play of the game in garbage time. So if there's any way.
Yeah, that is when he tends to go for 8 in a score.
Wait, I've got a big Marley Minute reference here. He's like T-City in the third round with the sub. Like, it's as shocking. It happens every time. This guy is just in the last couple of runs of the game. He just breaks one for a touchdown and makes all his value. That's happened like 10 times with Derrick Henry. Every time he has a big day, it's that last play of the game. So
don't jump into Slack. Don't bitch about how Derrick Henry was recommended. We're in the third quarter and he ain't done shit yet.
Oh, no.
You gotta wait
till the last play. But his team needs to be ahead. It has to be garbage time. It does not work out. It has to be garbage time. So, but if that does come, you can expect a late touchdown breakaway for Derrick Henry in this game. Most likely when the Jags have pulled all their starters out and just are, you know, mailing it in.
That is a crazy call if it happens again.
It's going to. So happening.
I love it.
But, Marley, you know what I'm talking about with T-City.
Yeah. I mean, just write it in the storybook right now. He's going to get it.
It's happening.
I don't know about you guys, but I scrolled down a little bit more on our research station page, and it just went blank. I think we're out of games, are we not?
Is that it? That's the slate. I'm still scrolling. I'm like, man, are these coming still? I'm used to a Sunday night game.
Why is this so slow to load? So I went to – really quick, just to make sure we talked about all the 435 game or 425 games, and we did. So that was anticlimactic as it gets, ending on – Derrick Henry's garbage time breakaway touchdown in a 42-point game. But, you know, you got to deal with the hand you were dealt. So
Titans got to win. They have to win. So, you know, they're going to be all out, and it's just a matter of how long those Jags play their starters. And it won't be that long, I don't think.
Once again, guys, it's not too late. NBA is rocking. NHL will be kicking in. Baseball is just a couple of months away. Pitchers and catchers report, what, in about 12 weeks? That's not too far down the road. Anyway, we cover all those sports. PGA is kicking off. Everything at DFSArmy.com is where you get advice. It's where you get to become a better DFS player on a year-round basis when you come back to your draft in August and you say, what the hell, chumps? Y'all don't know shit because I learned so much over the last 9 months. All right, Kevin, Marley, let me throw it to you guys to say your goodbyes. We'll wrap it up, and we'll ship this one off into the playoff, into the postseason.
So basically – Week 17, you know, for anybody who's been with us this whole time, this will be the last official Vegas Lions podcast. For our DFS Army members, we'll continue to do, through the playoffs, VIP exclusive podcast just for the shorter slate breakdowns. And, man, it's been an awesome year, an incredible adventure. We've had incredible winners this season who are listeners to this show and members of our group. There was a $150,000 win earlier this season, which is unreal. A couple weeks ago, there's another guy took down 100,000. I mean, amazing season of NFL football in the DFS Army, and you know, we really appreciate all the listeners and all the downloads and all of that. So you know, get on board. NBA is rocking. We're crushing it. NBA, I would say, is our best sport by far, or it's the most projectable sport, which is the most useful for the type of tools that we provide. And we got Big Marley now. What's better than that?
That's right. Yeah, and I crushed short slates, so I'm excited for the playoffs. I hope we end this regular season with some wins and have some extra money in our bankroll. So let's crush it this last week and then continue on through the playoffs.
Hell yeah, swole the roll. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Yeah.